WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Hamas has released three more Israeli hostages. Crowds gathered in Tel Aviv to celebrate. CBS's Robert Berger with details.
Three male Israeli hostages were released by Hamas after 491 days in captivity in Gaza. The deal went through despite Arab anger over President Trump's proposal to transfer the Palestinian population out of Gaza. It's the fifth hostage release since the ceasefire began 3 weeks ago. 21 hostages have been released so far.
And the BBC's Sebastian Usher tells us in return 183 Palestinian prisoners are being released by Israel.
Almost every Palestinian will have a member of their family, a friend, an acquaintance, someone they know who has been detained.
The White House's Department of Government Efficiency is preparing to take action at the Education Department, which President Trump has threatened to shut down. Here's CBS's Christiane Benavides.
Speaking to donors and GOP senators at his Mar-a-Lago resort Friday night, President Donald Trump reacted to Democratic members of Congress who were denied entry into the Department of Education building, an apparent next target for Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency.
The Democrats have lost their minds and they've lost their confidence.
Democrats are seeking to stop the gutting of these government agencies and the firing of thousands of federal workers.
Meanwhile, the president said he plans to enhance his personal relationship with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
The prime minister and I will be working closely together to maintain peace and security, and I also say peace through strength.
Trump was speaking at a joint news conference with the visiting prime minister of Japan, who described U.S. engagement with North Korea as positive. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, The White House.
Looking for last-minute Super Bowl tickets? Beware of scammers. Sam Rubin is with the cybersecurity firm Palo Alto Networks.
Scammers are preparing their phishing emails to take advantage of people, for example, who are potentially interested in buying those tickets. They're preparing campaigns to target users who are going to be clicking on links potentially related to Taylor Swift. So they're really getting those attack campaigns spun up to target the things that we're interested in as we're thinking about the big game.
And if you are still seriously looking to buy tickets, some are still available. According to StubHub, prices are less than last year, but of course still expensive, around $2,600 a ticket. This is CBS News.
Nothing makes a gathering great like Eggland's Best eggs. They're just so delicious, with better nutrition, too. For us, it's eggs any style, as long as they're the best. Eggland's Best.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. All over the country, people protested the early moves of the Trump administration over the last week. That includes here in Wisconsin at the state capitol. Mike Moen reports.
Trump's return to the White House has involved a heavy dose of controversial executive orders. And access granted to wealthy advisor Elon Musk is raising legal and ethical questions as he looks to drastically cut budgets for federal agencies, or in some cases, eliminate them. Dozens of protesters gathered at designated sites in the Midwest. Organizer Kelsey Brienne said her event was a response to an attempted blitz by Trump against the government he oversees.
It's exhausting. These executive orders are not in any way normal.
Trump's moves include revoking affirmative action policies and withdrawing the U.S. from the World Health Organization. The demonstrations, billed as peaceful grassroots events, were described as frustration over the lack of influential voices trying to intervene, including Democratic leaders. However, some orders have been met with lawsuits. On his social media platform, Musk has defended his work, citing the need to cut government waste. Backlash against the right-wing policy blueprint, known as Project 2025, was another common theme at these rallies. Brienne says in Michigan, they fielded requests from many rural residents to attend. She was encouraged to hear companion protests in states with mostly rural settings, suggesting it's not an easy decision in regions where Trump is deeply popular.
You know, that takes guts, that takes courage, and right now what we need is courage.
But she says it's not easy for a lot of people to keep up with what's happening, prompting folks like her to draw attention to any actions deemed alarming. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Chippewa Valley forecast for today. Look for snow and 2 to 4 inches of accumulation. For tonight, clearing out, 2 below 0, wind chills 10 below, wind chills remaining well below zero on your Sunday, even though there will be some sunshine. For Monday, mostly sunny and a high near 17.
Right now, it's 19.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global Matt Randolph is back to talk about the Trump administration policies and how that's affecting us, heating our houses and filling up the gas. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut anything.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means Distant Thunder. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are like the resistant experts here, and, you know, we got to give a shout out to Navajo Nation and their members down there. ICE is trying to, they had one member, a couple members down there for 9 hours. They had them in confinement. Wow. So we need to still talk about these things that are affecting Indian country as a whole. I know President Green Deer of Ho-Chunk Nation put out a beautiful statement last week that's been shared all around Indian country, and we're lucky to have John Green Deer as president of Ho-Chunk Nation. I know Winnebago, our relatives in Winnebago, Ho-Chunk in Nebraska, are reaching out to descendants and tribal members for IDs. And so we are picking up the resistance again. And I know we have to stay vigilant. We still have to talk about this stuff all the time. We can't fall asleep. We have to be awake. And it's good to have this platform to talk about these things.
Yeah, that's a great point, and always nice to hear positive and supportive messages from leaders in our tribal nations across Turtle Island. So shout out, thank you, Pinagigi, President John Green Deer of the Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin. And yeah, another thing I heard was like descendants. If you have kids or grandkids that aren't enrolled, somehow your tribe should be able to get, you know, attach lineage to your family and be able to provide proof of descendancy. And that's important to just have in general, but, you know, we never know what could happen with federal politics, as we know, with the history of our past in relationships with federal policies. And also important to just get that descendancy relationship tied to your tribe. And if anything, it'll just stronger your tribe and make it harder for whatever reason, if someone were to try to unrecognize any federal tribes right now?
Well, everyone, there's a couple things I posted, and one of them is we need to really really clued in on Amendment 14th Amendment, and not let them change the meaning of that true amendment. And then also, you know, there's some things going on that are pretty bizarre. And one of them we talk about, we're talking about, you know, the there's some states that are the red states that are passing laws for people to become like bounty hunters and getting $1,000 a person. And what's, you know, and that's a law, you know, I have it on my Facebook here. I'm just checking it out again because I got all these other things like, hey, resist. And, you know, it's called Bill 1481. And there's also a Bill 42 or 72 in Missouri that are doing the same things where there is going to be a bounty, pay bounty hunters to catch undocumented immigrants. And so, again, we need to be vigilant and talk about these things and not be afraid to talk about these things and get our allies out there fired up too, because we need to be fired up and we need to figure out a few things that really irk us and really stay vigilant on that, because, you know, what the Republicans are playing is, you know, he, what did he do? 200 of those the first day. And, you know, they just blind us with all this thing. And we have election fatigue because of many reasons, but we still have to be awake and be vigilant. Haley, I want to change the subject now. Now that I said we have to be vigilant, I want to give a quick shout out to Kathy Coates, who is one of the five runner ups, and we won't know, Minnesota Book of the Year, and that's the Banish book. And Kathy's been a host on our, or a guest on our show many times, and a big shout out to her about the banishment of to banish forever. It was the secret society and the removal of Ho-Chunk, and we want to give her a big shout out. And another big shout out too. You were at the Big Auntie show. How was that?
Oh yeah. Well, first, congratulations, Kathy Coates, on the Minnesota Book Awards. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went and saw Big Auntie Energy with Ace Bay Comedy, Deanna Standing Cloud, Trish Cook, and the Res reporter, Rob Fairbanks, on Friday. That was at the Parkway Theater, and it was hilarious, as expected. I can't give away, you know, anything in their set, but I can. I do want to say Trish did glue her eye shut with mascara, fake eyelash glue, and I thought that was kind of funny. She incorporated that in her comedy set, but oh my goodness, we're just so funny, us Native people, and it was so good to see other Natives from community in the crowd, as well as white allies too, who were there for a good time. And they'll be doing another show in St. Paul. If you missed this past Friday's, I think that'll be February 14th, Valentine's Day show on Friday in St. Paul. And I think that'll be at the Indigenous Cultural Roots Cultural Center.
Cool. Hey, and also too, the sun's out until 5:14 right now. So I don't know, I'm feeling a little more awake here in Minnesota, huh?
Oh, I know, right? Finally, we made it through, what was it, like the 10 darkest weeks of the year, which is from November 16th to January 22nd. So it's like 5 weeks before the winter solstice and the 5 weeks after the winter solstice. Yeah, and we made it officially.
Yeah, we kind of made it. We got a new president in that interim there. But again, I regress. Hey, February 8th and Sunday, February 9th at Johnson Senior High School, big powwow. Enda Young's 26th annual Cherish the Children Traditional Powwow. I can't talk. What was I saying? Powwow, wow, wow?
Powwow, wow, wow. How many wows in there?
Putting too many wows in there, but powwow. And that's coming up. And then also save the date. There's on February 12th. There's a Valentine's Round Dance at the Minneapolis American Indian Center from 6 to 9. Bring your kids, family, your Valentine, and stay tuned. Follow the Minneapolis Indian Center on social on the socials for more updates.
Good one, Robert.
I read that one in one breath. Oh, what?
Sounded like it. No, I'm just kidding. That's one of your favorite things. That's how you'll be sounding at the round dance, huh?
Yeah. I'll have to stretch out and get really in touch with my yoga because, as you know, round dances go one direction. It's like when I was a little kid, when we were roller skating, when that was a thing, way, way before your time, Haley.
Way, way before.
We had to, like, in the middle of the night, switch directions.
Yeah, those round dances, they just keep going, no stopping.
I get hip dysplasia and
have I still a sore hips up, all you elders out there
have a sore hip the next day. Jeez. Hey, what do we got going on here? We got like 30 seconds left. What's the show about here? I didn't make that meeting. What's the show gonna be about today?
Oh, well, we have your TikTok friend Jonathan's gonna be joining us, and hopefully we'll get some updates from the American Indian Family Center.
Yeah, that'd be great. And great way to start the Monday. And again, everyone, we are the resistant experts, and we need to resist. And that's what we're talking about here in a good way, getting information out there. So, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for matinee on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, our uncle Leonard Peltier will be soon out and was commuted and will be at home with his family, and we really said a million prayers out to him and his family, and we appreciate him. And I just wanted to say that after that bumper. Hey, we have Rhea Peltier, American Indian Family Center Marketing and Communications Specialist. Welcome. Ho-wah. Hey, you're a little... I think you're a little quiet, Haley. Can you hear her okay, or...
Oh, it's a little quiet and echoey. I don't know. Okay. Check out those audio settings on here, Rayette.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Let me try.
Maybe try to take off your headphones and then we'll pop you back in.
Yeah. Okay.
But the family center is always doing stuff like weekly. They have stuff going on like Mondays, Tuesdays they're doing something. Thursday is like my favorite thing. Yeah. They offer crafting group in the mornings, and they offer like all the crafting resources too. So if you don't have something, they can get it for you, or they have teachers there too. So you can learn a lot of stuff at the crafting group.
Well, mine is, I think of my my nanny and your Gaga at the Elders Center on Mondays here, learning some at the Elders Lodge, and hearing spiritual teachings. It'd be Aunt Barb hearing spiritual teachings is a good thing. Oh,
yeah. Rayette, let's test your audio. What's going on at the Elders Lodge tonight?
Yeah, so I'm actually, okay, great. Maybe it was just like this. I was using my, I have a Bluetooth adapter for my not wireless headphone. So,
Phone,
so maybe it just didn't like it. And they weren't
getting fancy on us, Rhea. Getting all fancy with all these little connections.
Yeah, so I'm actually broadcasting live, if you will. I'm live at the scene at the Elders Lodge. So excuse me, I ran out to my car to take this call with you all this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us again. And yeah, we right now, Richard Wright is just sharing some stories, not to be confused with winter storytelling, because I know that that you have to have a lot more snow than what we've been getting lately to be telling those winter stories. So at 5:30 is then when the elders that stay at the Elders Lodge can share some stories if they want, just about, you know, anything funny when they were growing up, or just anything of that nature. And then Nelda Goodman, who's one of our elders and residents, chefed up some hominy soup for us. So we'll be sharing that tonight. So yeah,
maybe my nanny, Aunt Barb, will say Robert's her favorite nephew. we should bring that up.
I'll see.
Check in to next week and let us know. So what else is going on? I know, like, Tuesdays, you have things happening. Let's talk a little bit about the rest of the week.
Yeah, so Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have our reoccurring, so it's the same Zoom link, which you can find on our website at AIFCMN.org/events. I see it scrolling on the bottom. That's pretty cool.
All fancy.
I know, my ADHD kicked in there a little bit.
It's the same Zoom link, but they're two different meetings. So on Tuesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. virtually, we have a Native American Wellanon, or Wellanon, which is our Native American Al-Anon. And that's for those who want to come and share space with other people that might have loved ones that are also like substance use disorder, or have that, I should say. And, you know, it's just like finding healthy coping skills. And then on Thursdays, it's the same Zoom link, and those are facilitated by Cheryl Whitehawk. She's one of our LADCs at the American Indian Family Center, one of our treatment counselors. And it's our 12 Steps Wellbriety program. And that these are both open to anyone who feels that they want to hop in and share some space. And that one is for any kinds of addiction, even codependency. And then Haley, thank you. You're already plugging our Thursday craft groups.
Oh, yeah.
And those are led by Sasina Samreath, and she's an experienced crafter, beader. She does wonderful work. She does a lot of the flat stitch kinds of beads beading, earrings, medallions. And if you want to start a project, like you were saying, we have a lot of supplies there. And then if you want to get help with something you're stuck on. She's great. Like, I've gone to her many of times on my lunch, like, hey, can you help me with this? Or hey, can you help me with that? And she's awesome. And then we share lunch. That's at the Family Center, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursdays. And then this upcoming Saturday, we have Life Skills for Youth. And that's going to be led by Pam Gokey. Usually it's led by Gina Carlson. Pam Gokey is our youth services manager, and she hails from LCO. But they'll be doing vision boards, and that's open to youth from ages 14 to 24, which is kind of a big range, but, you know, it sounds pretty fun what they're doing. Just vision boarding, you know, what you want for your future. So,
wow. Cool. It is what it is, huh? It's on a board, and you're kind of planning out some goals in your life. And
yeah,
that's cool.
Are they like physical vision boards, or are they digital vision boards?
Yeah, they're going to be like hands-on, you know, blue sticks and all. And cutting and all of the things.
Glue stick. That's awesome. Hey, I want to back up a second on Tuesday. Wellanon meetings, and anyone that has somebody that, like you said, has issues with any kind of chemical dependency, it's a great place to not only get help, but really help yourself. And I applaud that, because it's not about, you know, going to the meeting and trashing the people, but it's about how you're dealing with things. And the Wellanon meetings are awesome. I've been to them before. And also, you know, if you think you have a issue with drugs and alcohol, and it sounds like codependency too, you want to check out the Wellbriety meeting based on the 12 steps. And that's magical. And anyone that feels like they have a need, they're definitely welcome, right, Rayette?
Yes. Yeah. And what's really nice about the Native Al-Anon too is Cheryl Whitehawk has been working with White Bison and Don Coyes on coming up with materials for, because it's the first of its kind, her meetings, the Native Al-Anon, which is Wellanon, which is stemming from the Wellbriety under White Bison, Don Coyes's 12 Steps book that he helped write with the, I don't know if he helped write it, but it was with elders, and indigenizing the 12 step program. So it fits more of our spirituality versus the 12 step program from, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and Naranon Anonymous.
That was hard to say.
Yeah.
Rayette, I want you to get information that people can find you, whether it's your website or Facebook, because right now I can see you're getting darker and darker, and we might lose you here in 30 seconds or so.
Oh, no, sorry.
No, that's all right. Yeah, let people know.
Yeah, so you can find the American Indian Family Center on Facebook at AIFCMN, as well as on Instagram, and then on our website at www.aifcmn.org.
Hey, Pini Gigi, thank you for what you do for the community, and keep up the great work, and thanks for the update, and we'll see you maybe next week. Ho-wa!
Ho-wa, me gwitch, likewise.
All right, Pini Gigi. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with our friend, a friend that I watch TikToks all the time, and I'm really excited to see Jonathan come on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief. Three Israeli male hostages have been freed by Hamas. In return, Israel has begun releasing 183 Palestinian prisoners. The BBC's Sebastian Usher.
Almost every Palestinian will have a member of their family, a friend, an acquaintance, someone they know who has been detained.
CBS's Christiane Benavides reports on another setback for the Trump administration.
Early Saturday, a federal judge blocked Musk's agency from accessing Treasury Department records that contain sensitive information, such as bank account and Social Security numbers.
Another judge temporarily blocked the administration from placing employees of the USAID on leave. Look out for scammers trying to get you to buy last-minute fake Super Bowl tickets.
They're really getting those attack campaigns spun up to target the things that we're interested in as we're thinking about the big game.
Sam Rubin is with the cybersecurity firm Palo Alto Networks. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Super Bowl 59 coming up tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Eagles and the Chiefs spending time with family and friends before tomorrow night's Super Bowl here in New Orleans. Kickoff at 5:30. Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce on what he likes to do the night before the game.
I really don't have too many crazy routines. I really just show up to the game ready to play some football and ready to go, you know, all out for the guys that I'm playing with.
NBA, the Bucks losing in Atlanta last night, 115-110. Doc Rivers upset with what he called a casual effort by his team in the third quarter.
It would have been a joke to basketball. We win the game tonight. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve to win. We're a better team than what we showed, and it's on me. I gotta get them to see it. It's on me. I gotta get them to see that you can't be casual in an NBA game and think you're gonna win the game.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Chippewa Valley forecast for today. Look for snow and 2 to 4 inches of accumulation. For tonight, clearing out, 2 below 0, wind chills 10 below, wind chills remaining well below zero on your Sunday, even though there will be some sunshine. For Monday, mostly sunny and a high near 17.
Right now, it's 19.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A New Hampshire Senate bill just killed in committee would have moved the state's 4 presidential electoral votes to a winner-by-district system from a winner-take-all. Nebraska, the only state besides Maine which apportions its electoral votes by district, is trying to end it. The National Conference of State Legislatures defines a winner-take-all system as one where the winning candidate's party, no matter the margin of victory, gets all of the electoral votes. Currently in Nebraska, which has 5 electoral votes, and Maine, which has 4, 1 electoral vote is awarded for each congressional district a candidate wins, and the candidate who wins the popular vote statewide gets the rest. New Hampshire is currently a winner-take-all state with 2 congressional districts. SB 11 would have adopted the Nebraska and Maine model, likely in anticipation of gerrymandering a guaranteed GOP congressional district. But February 5th, the Senate Election and Municipal Affairs Committee recommended that it be killed in an upcoming full Senate vote. The AP reports that Nebraska's GOP is irritated that candidates Obama, Biden, and Harris won an electoral vote from Greater Omaha's Congressional District 2. Another legislative attempt to end it appears doomed to fail by filibuster, so state Republicans are preparing a ballot measure instead, hoping the voters will change what the legislature could not. We have links to the local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Super Bowl, see who won, who lost, and what the commercials were, the news, headlines, and more. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by a Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, Haley, you know, one of the things, one of my jams at night before I close my eyes to the creator is I kind of turn on TikTok and I watch TikTok. And there's a thing that over the years has been called Native TikTok. And so my rhythms pick up people that are Native speaking their truth. And Jonathan is one of them. And I'm so glad to have Jonathan on and speak his truth and come on to Native Roots Radio. And just the great things that Jonathan talks about. He's director of the Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network. And Jonathan, do you mind introducing yourself in a good way? Ho-wa.
Hey, Robert. How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great. Loud and clear.
That's good. Awesome. Yeah, I'm Jonathan Akutumaza. I'm a tribal member with the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe in South Dakota. I am the director of the Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network, and I work with Next Level Collaboration. I really appreciate you having me on. I know you saw me on TikTok. I know there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that you guys speak on too, that I speak on, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. There's, you know, in our community, there's not a lot of representation. And the, you know, the stuff we do see, sometimes it's misrepresentation. So it's good to see you guys really keeping the community together. And I applaud you for that and appreciate to be a part of what you're doing.
Big Pini Gigi. You know, how did you get into media and content creation? And you do a great job. And people, before we get any further, can you please give your name, your TikTok name, so people can follow you?
My TikTok name is Redshirt VI. Just Redshirt VI. And that's Instagram as well. And then that really is connected to my third great grandfather's Chief Redshirt. And I have a podcast called the Red Shirt Podcast as well. So I'm kind of, all those are kind of connected just to my history and my bloodline.
So they'll be able to find, how do they find your podcast?
Find my podcast on Spotify. Just type in the Red Shirt Podcast and it'll be amongst a few sports, baseball podcasts, but you will see, you'll tell the difference. So it's pretty easy to tell.
Awesome. So can you tell us how you got going on media and this content creation? Tell our listeners how you got started.
Right. Well, it really just got started with me researching my history, my personal history. And I was actually adopted. So at a very young age, I wasn't taught my language, my history, really. So it was up to me to reconnect. And when I started that journey, it brought me down a rabbit hole that a lot of us know about. And it really just pushed me to, I think the ancestors really just pushed me to start talking about it on every level. Because as many people do know, but you might not know, I'm an artist as well. I am a hip hop artist. I do tattoo art and a few other things. So I saw my talents and I realized that these could be used to help our community. And so I started implementing what I speak about in everything that I do, because, you know, our people are in an act of genocide, and it's my responsibility, I feel like, to make sure everyone knows about that. And there's a few times where I try to back out of it and be like, this is kind of like a losing, because I know a lot of us feel that way. You know, we're up against multiple giants at all times, and, you know, you feel like giving up, but, you know, the ancestors, they're watching and their energy's here, and it pushed me through and just helped me to, you know, implement this in every way possible. So then I went to Facebook and I went to Instagram, and at first I didn't know about TikTok because at first everyone thought it was just like a dancing, like, right, media. because I think that's how it started. But I think what I did was I realized that everyone's on TikTok. And I remember Gary V, he's a an expert on, you know, everything, but he said that TikTok's the next big thing. And I was like, okay, well, then we need to target that if we want to reach the most people. And that's what I did. And that's where I got the most, had the most people following me, is on TikTok, because really it seems like people are, they want to be educated. They realize, the general public realizes that we are actually, what they did to the indigenous community or are doing. So, basically, I just started talking about genocide, assimilation, the Indian policies that are, making it hard for us to invoke our treaties at any level, including what I, a lot of people don't know about or have heard about, is the Appropriations Act, which it took our ability to make treaties away and our sovereign nation status. And then that led to this, to the citizenship conversation. So, you know, there's so many things that I just started talking about, and you know, I'm not stopping until we get, you know, everybody on board, basically.
Wow, Jonathan, I appreciate that. I'm an adoptee too, and I just found my tribe 11 years ago, and I knew I was Winnebago, and I found my birth mother, and it's a lot of people know about that story, so good on you. And one of the things I gotta tell you too, I don't think you know this about me, but my real job is I'm a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation. And what I like, some of your talks on TikTok especially, have talked about how Native governments aren't really doing their job for their people in so many words. And so I appreciate that truth too, because that is something that we don't talk a lot about, you know, to our allies out there, but you do. And I think it's really a great thing, Jonathan.
Right. Yeah. I think there's been this silence on our tribal councils and kind of their compliance with the policies that are keeping us where we are. And so I realized that, you know, the first step to change is in our own backyards. And so we can change as people, but if we have our councils who aren't on board with us, where do we go from there? And that's what we've seen, is communities trying to rise up and trying to do good things, but councils and legislation making that not happen. And that's what I talk about, the red shirt or the red tape policies that are, you know, just all over. And, you know, we're seeing that in the media now. We're seeing everyone talking about it. So that's a really good thing. But I'm hoping that we can tune it into what we need. We really need to be focused on, you know, holding every leader accountable.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree 100%. And especially now, but always, but especially now with the attack on our sovereignty from the orange one, and that we really need to have our backyards clean so we can have clear policy to help our members.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think that what we need to realize as a community as well is every, you know, since our treaties have been made, no matter who the party was, is there's been a foundation and a system that has been built around exploiting our freedom, our treaties, our rights, and then that transferred into our tribal councils when they made us make these constitutions that worked for the government. It wasn't worked for our communities, worked for our traditional values. It was for the government. And that's one of the big reasons why one of the initiatives, Next Level Collaborations and Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network, are doing is we created the Tribal Anti-Corruption League. And what that is trying to hold these councils accountable with the community. And that's just one of the many things that we do, we're working on. And I can go through that too in a little bit or later on.
Cool. Well, one of the things too, a friend of mine from the American Indian Movement, Madonna Thunderhawk, who was there all the way from Alcatraz to Line 3 and everything in between there, I asked her, how did you guys get so much done? And of course, the women led the way and the males got all the press. But she said the less people that make decisions, the quicker things got done. And that's always stuck with me, because I feel like my other job is a quagmire of slow moving decisions and things that could really help our people and infighting and lateral oppression and all those things that we don't always talk about here, but are a real thing for our Native community, Jonathan.
Right. Exactly. And I think that when just having these conversations is a really good start, because, you know, we've been having these conversations around the dinner table for a very long time. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people tell me when we're talking about tribal corruption and just accountability and moving forward in positive ways is they're met with negativity from the council, with, with threats of taking away resources. And this has been happening for a long time. It's nothing new, but I think with social media and people unifying, it's going to come to a point where the tribal councils, you know, it's going to be at their front step, and they're going to have to either step down or step up, is what I always say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Jonathan, where do you live?
I live in St. Cloud.
Oh, okay. So you're a Minnesota person too. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then how long ago did you find your family?
It was about, I'm going to have to say, well, I knew about them for my whole life, but because we still had a little bit of connection there, but it was about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, did that reconnecting journey and actually connected with my family in Eagle Butte there. And then from there, yeah, it just pushed me to do even more once I saw the conditions that my siblings were in as well, because I have multiple siblings besides me and my two brothers who were adopted at young ages.
Wow. Well, Jonathan, we got another segment here, and this is really intense, good talking. And I know a couple people here have mentioned, like our friend Don that's listening, tribal councils are the biggest sellouts, a corrupt colonized proxy to the United States wards, we're prisoners. And so there's a lot of feeling out there, and I like the fact that you are not afraid to bring these things up and talk about them, and that's great that we're having you on here. We got to take a quick break here, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. How- Wow, this show, Haley, this show has been flying. We are here howling here. That means we're on our last segment.
Ooh, how what?
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for coming back on. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit and remind people about your Red Shirt podcast and talk about what you guys talk about there.
Right. Yeah, the Redshirt podcast, that right now is doing really well. My first actual podcast was with Ntani Means, and we did that at the American Indian Center in Minneapolis there. He was in town, and it was kind of a rush thing. We called up the American Indian Center, and they allowed us to use one of their conference rooms to do it. So that was awesome. And then from there, you know, I've utilized Zoom a lot because people are around the United States that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. For now, you know, Sten Jotti, Stephanie Big Eagle, and then upcoming, actually, we have a few others. Wolf Brown, Galerius Wolf, he's a comedian. Tall Paul, he's a hip hop artist in mm-hmm. Minneapolis. And, you know, we have a lot of great people coming up, and we really just talking about what they do. I want to hear what they're doing. I want their story to be told, because it gives our youth and the people who are doing similar things that push that, you know, that I got, that I needed, that we can do this, we can be American Indian in the society and be successful. And, you know, that's where Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network and Next Level Collaborations were. The Red Road Podcast was just one of our things to start that storytelling, because that kind of rolls into Tackle, the Tribal Anti-Corruption League, and getting those stories to be told as well. And then, I don't know, a little ways back when I was doing a little less, I was able to really dive into Native news on our reservations, in our lands. And one of the big things was critical mineral mining.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening right now in Mille Lacs Reservation. Their 1851 treaty is being encroached on there. It's being funded by the Department of Defense. Thacker Pass, same thing. The Black Hills are being targeted. Dozens of these around, because 75% of all critical minerals are on our land. So, you know, and nobody's talking about it. We are talking about clean energy, but we're not talking about what's behind that clean energy and whose land that it's coming from, and you know, who it's impacting. My thing is, you know, beyond our people, we have to think about our four-legged relatives and our plants and our food and our futures, because our goal is to get back into our traditional values, our languages. And if we don't have a place to do that, it's going to be impossible. So, you know, I always say that Next Level Collaborations, they're the technology. Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network, we're the systems. And the Red Road program, the Tackle, the Redshirt podcast, and Wind News is the implementation. And that's just the start, because we want every like-minded individual, organization, and nations to join our initiatives for a multicultural unification on our standards moving forward with sovereignty. So as far as that goes, coming up here on Wednesday, in 2 days, it's coming up pretty quick. I've just realized that. But I have the opportunity to talk long-term strategies and agreements with my tribal council on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. It's open to everybody, but it's a community-wide in Eagle Butte. And our goal is to connect all tribal nations, you know, with true community-led economies, you know, with those traditional values and language connected to them. So, you know, there's a lot of work ahead of us. And that kind of brings me also into the Red Road program, which is we're starting on February 3rd. So, like I said, there's a lot to go through. But just to kind of put that, what we're doing with the Red Road program is getting people who want this true change for our communities, not the change that is funded by the federal government, that is funded by our abilities, you know, our talents, because look around us. We see athletes, we see musicians, and they're all so talented. They're ready to, you know, be at that level, but it's almost like we're lone wolves. And I feel that I've been in that, and it's mm-hmm. hard to get out of that. So, you know, the Red Road program is just something where we can get together and talk about strategies moving forward with artists, with musicians, and, you know, hopefully build that long form community development that is lacking through tribal council federal funding and through all the nonprofits that are, you know, struggling to make up for the mismanagement of funds that the tribal councils are doing.
Yeah, Jonathan, we'd love to have you on again and give us updates if that's in your capacity. You're doing great work, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this. And one of our listeners, Shantaya, wants us to ask you to remind us where and how we can follow you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook, Jonathan Okutamaza. You can follow me on Instagram, RedShirtVI, TikTok, RedShirtVI. There's a RedShirt podcast YouTube that is, I'm still getting started. We want to get the video of the podcast out, but right now, you know, we're just getting the audio. But Spotify, just type in RedShirt podcast as well, and you'll see a native shirt actually on. You'll notice what it is. But yeah, and then besides that, nextlevelcollaborations.org for that's our foundational support for Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network. And then Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network.com. That's a long one, but you know, once you save that in your search box, that'll be there forever. So that will go into what we're doing with the Red Shirt program, with Tackle, and with upcoming things with that have to do with treaty law, because we have a lot of lawyers in our Indigenous community, a lot of professionals who are waiting also to implement their strategies and their, you know, what they've learned to help our cause and to push us forward into true sovereignty and self-governance, you know, self-determination.
Right. And I like how you say true sovereignty, because there's been some TikToks that you brought up, some really good information about that. Are natives really truly sovereign? And I really appreciate appreciated those informations and played those a couple times to listen to, Jonathan. Really great information. And I hope that you'll be able to join us again and maybe kind of frequently and give us an update on how you're doing and how we can support you here on Native Roots Radio. This is what we're all about. We started the show because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation that was going on there 9 years ago, and this is our ninth season. And these are the things that we want to amplify, is the things that you're doing.
Right. No, I would love to make it a regular thing for me to get on here and talk about our updates. I also, Next Level Collaborations in Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network, we also, we're an Indigenous led organization, but we're working outside because we need unity from everyone, from outside and inside. So we're actually starting a podcast called Collective Win. And, you know, our target is talking to people like Native Roots Radio and how you guys started. And like you said, you started at Standing Rock. I would love to get into it with you on, you know, your process, your upbringing, because it seems like we kind of have a similar one there too.
Yeah.
So maybe we can get together on that podcast that I'll be starting soon. Obviously I'm doing a lot, got a lot going on, but you know, we can talk about it, and I would love to appreciate you having me on too.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you, Haley, just a wonderful guest here, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you, Pina Gigi, Jonathan, and all that you do for the community. And I look forward to seeing you on all platforms and back here on Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the 7th.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
Pat Kreitlow is off this week, so get used to some Bach in the Dock, Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Monday through Thursday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Israel prison authorities have confirmed 183 Palestinian prisoners have been freed as part of the Gaza ceasefire deal with Israel. Three more hostages are now back in Israel after being released by Hamas. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Tel Aviv.
Marks the first exchange since President Trump made his proposal to resettle all of Gaza's population, some 2 million people outside of the devastated Gaza Strip. There are still 76 Israeli hostages in Hamas captivity. They include two dual national American citizens believed to still be alive.
So far, two migrant flights have been taken to Guantanamo Bay, the U.S. prison in Cuba that President Trump is turning into a massive immigration detention complex. CBS's Charlie Daggett says that comes with a price.
One of those flights left from Fort Bliss in Texas to Guantanamo Bay. They used a C-17 cargo plane. That's the standard workhorse for the U.S. military. We know that price tag comes at roughly $28,500 per hour of flight time, 80 people per flight, 30,000 migrants.
Some setbacks for the Trump administration. A federal judge